Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Sanctification touches every corner of daily life. As we consider what it truly means to walk in step with the God who dwells within us, we must realize that rejecting this call is not a rejection of man. It is a rejection of God, who gives us His Holy Spirit. Therefore, holiness is not optional. It is Spirit-empowered obedience. Please open your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of verses 1 through 8.
1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 2, we read, "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication or sexual immorality, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband." Did you hear that? To avoid fornication, every man is to have his own wife, not his own roommate or girlfriend that he lives with and sleeps with, and every woman is to have her own husband, not a guy that she lives with and sleeps with. God's ideal for sexual intimacy is within the marriage covenant. And we read in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." Again, let me read the Amplified Bible where it says, "Marriage is to be held in honor among all, regarded as something of great value, and the marriage bed undefiled by immorality or by any sexual sin, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous." In the Roman and Greek society, in that culture, sexual immorality was just an accepted way of life. Immorality was very, very present, even in the Old Testament, when there was the worship of false gods. There would usually be associated with that sexual promiscuity as a form of worship in order to become one with their gods. When God ordained marriage, He says, the two will become one. It's quiet in here. It's in the midst of that sexually immoral and godless and pagan culture that Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, exhorts the Thessalonians to live a life that was pure and sanctified and set apart unto God. And there's no doubt that many of them had come to faith in Christ living that way, like so many of us were. If there was ever a time when the church, if there was ever a time when our nation needed to hear Paul's exhortation regarding the pitfalls and the dangers of sexual immorality, it's today. Anytime there is a disregard for God's design, there's always going to be a consequence that will destroy families, lives, churches. We're living in a nation where the very same sexually immoral practices that were condemned here by Paul in Thessalonica are extremely common. Are they not? I would think it's even worse today. I don't know how it could get worse. But sexual immorality in all of its blatant forms are very accepted in our society. There are groups of people that even have parades and demonstrations to flaunt the right to live the way they want to live. You throw in the internet. Now I know why they call it the web. The World Wide Web. With a plethora of so many seductive websites. Adult bookstores, adult chat lines, You and I know that pornography is a trillion-dollar business. And you and I are living in a society with an attitude that has an attitude of laxity towards biblical morality and holy living. In fact, it's not just lax, it is completely against it. No doubt, if anybody who is unsaved hears this message, I will get some very, very nice emails tomorrow. Paul's exhortation, because it comes from the Spirit of God, was not just for the Thessalonians. It's for you and me as well. You see, those of us who are in Christ, we belong to Christ. And He now tells us what we can and cannot do with our body. Right? He owns us. We're the temples of the Holy Ghost. When Jesus gave the description of a disciple, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, and so on and so forth. When He described the character of a child of God, you would think, wow, this is a pretty nice guy. This is a pretty nice gal. Everybody's just going to love him. He goes, no. You know what's going to happen? You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be opposed. You're going to be ridiculed. You're going to be mocked. When it comes to subjects like this, you're going to be called a Puritan. You're going to be called a goody two-shoes. But Jesus said, in spite of that, you've been redeemed to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And so again, the will of God for every one of us is our sanctification, that we should abstain from fornication. There are some people, you know, you get to a certain age, like mine. I was talking to a dear brother of mine, my elder, Joel. We were talking about this subject this morning. Right, Brother Joe? And I says, Joe, I find myself praying. You know what the Bible says? Flee youthful lusts. I pray, Lord, let them flee from me, but they just don't go away. You know why? As long as you are in this unredeemed body, you're going to have to deal with the reality of facing lusts. They're just not youthful. They're senior citizen lusts. They don't get any easier. They become more intense. And I'll tell you why. And for I love this scene. I love you guys. I just love seeing young people here today. Listen to this. You know why? Because the more that you can make an impact for Christ, the more the enemy wants to tear you down. Stakes are high because it's the name of Christ that is to bear. Sanctification or holiness is God's will for all of us. Young or old, married or unmarried, doesn't matter what your nationality is. You could be Indian, Italian, Indonesian, Iranian. Give me another one that starts with I. Idahoan. Irish. There are some people that think, well, no. This is the will of God for all of us. The New Living Translation, if you have that, Acts 20, verse 21 says, I have had one message for Jews and Greeks alike, the necessity of repenting from sin and turning to God and of having faith in the Lord Jesus. Notice, repenting from sin, turning to God. And as a believer, repentance is a way of life. It's that continuous putting off the old man and putting on the new man. And that happens every day. It may be a sinful thought, a sinful attitude. It could be a number of things. You and I can be repentant and probably do repent countless times during the day. And you know why? Because the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Those things never bothered me before I was saved. It wasn't until I was born again, I open up and go, boom, wow. I thought you're born Italian, get sprinkled when you're 6 weeks old, get the blessing of the throats, first Holy Communion, I'm in. No, there has to be repentance. The first thing Jesus said in the Gospel of Mark is, repent and believe the gospel. And Christ is the gospel. Remember in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, Paul says, 19 through 21, now the works of the flesh are manifest or obvious, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. That's another KJV word that I like. I don't like it, but it's got... You get your money's worth when you study, when you look at it, because it's worse than what it sounds like. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Notice, let me read slowly the end of verse 21. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Let me explain the word do. It doesn't speak of you and I having a moment of weakness and failure and repenting. He's talking about those who want nothing to do with what God says is the way to live morally. And they continue in that practice. Just read Romans chapter 1. Where it says, what happens when you disregard the commandment of God? Read it. The kind of lifestyle. It's called reprobate. Disapproved of God. But notice, beloved, don't be deceived on this matter that we're talking about today. There are many people professing faith in Christ, and it's not for me to judge, but I believe that there's many people, without thinking of anybody, thank you, Jesus, that have deceived themselves into thinking that the grace of God means that now I can live however I want to live, and it really doesn't matter to God. Question for you. If it doesn't matter to God, then why would he ever issue such a warning? It does matter to God, and it should matter to you. So Paul goes on and he says in verse 6, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. Again, the Amplified Bible says, in this matter of sexual misconduct, no man shall transgress and defraud his brother, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things, just as we have told you before and solemnly warned you. Paul warned the Thessalonians that God is the avenger of all those whose lives are characterized by sexual immorality. Paul would say, I wipe my hands clean, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Notice in verse 7, for God has not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. You see that? How many of you see that? God has not called us to uncleanness, but to holiness. God said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. So God has called us to walk in sanctification. He's called us to walk in holiness and in purity. And notice what he says in verse 8. He therefore that despises what we read this morning, despises not man, but God, who has also given us the Holy Spirit. Twofold work of the Holy Spirit. To decree these commands that are binding on all of us who are believers. And number two, he's given us the Holy Spirit, lest we say, well, I just can't live this way. Yes, you can. Yes, I can. Not in and of myself, but by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. You see, when we are saved by grace, we do not leave behind the commandments of God. On the contrary, we find the power of the Holy Ghost to keep them, because it's not legalism, it's love. When you are in a loving covenant with someone, you will do your level best to love them and please them. That's the great commandment. To any Christian of any age or any marital state in any country, the will of God is crystal clear. Holiness and sexual immorality are mutually exclusive. No appeal to Christian liberty can justify fornication or any form of sexual immorality. And if anybody has a problem with the call to live in sexual purity and holiness, your argument is not with me. Text God. You see, pastors don't make the standards. I did not write the Bible. I'm just here to lip sync for God. You see, when you and I are born again, we come under new management. Isn't it good? Oh, man. Okay, the management of my life is now Jesus Christ. I used to be the manager. That's why I was a wreck. So we are all wrecks under construction. I think we should purchase hard hats for people to walk into church. Under construction. You know what I'm talking about, right? God chips away. And God has given to you and I this morning the power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." There's a whole world, beloved. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. There are people that are trapped in sexual sin who are unsaved. They are our mission field. God forbid that we should go to them with a holier-than-thou finger-pointing attitude. Jesus wept when he looked at the multitudes. Do you and I? So easy to point out all of the bad things that they're doing. That's not the Spirit of God. You know, not a single soul will go to hell because they got drunk or because they were a fornicator. A person will go to hell because they blaspheme the work of the Holy Spirit, who is seeking to convince them of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, and says, "I do not need Jesus Christ to go to heaven." Yes, you do. Or you're not going there. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, and no one will enter the kingdom of God apart from grace through faith in Jesus Christ. There are individuals, and we've all been there, that struggle with sexual impurity. And some feel like God is asking for more than is reasonable of you and I because we're such weak human beings. And yet Paul, through the Holy Spirit, knew we would ask that question. He goes, no, that's why he has given us the Holy Spirit. You see, we're not passive, but here's the thing. The Holy Spirit isn't getting tempted to sin. I am. God doesn't tempt me to sin. My flesh is attracted to things that are ungodly or unholy. And here's the thing. Before I was born again, I did not have any power whatsoever. But now, here comes the fiery dart. Jesus, help. Help. Help! You say it. You mean it. He will be there. He'll be there. Okay, well, what about when you don't call out? Then what? Well, if you're born again, you know, like when you go through airport security, they ask you, do you have any, metal in your body or something like that? You go through and I tried to go through going to India, and I had a Swiss Army knife in my pocket. The 300 other passengers on the plane just looked at me and said, "Come on, bozo. Did you really think you were going to get away with that?" So what happens? You can't live with yourself. You can't sleep. You say, "God, I am so sorry." If we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what? And He means it. And He will. And He does. In Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, the scripture says how God's anointing destroys the yokes of bondage. And perhaps you're here today and there is a bondage, a sexually immoral bondage. Maybe it's an addiction bondage. I don't know. But all I know is that God's anointing will destroy that yoke of bondage. And my prayer is that today He's going to do it. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Remember what Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery? Remember? "Throw the stones." Jesus said, "He who is innocent, start throwing." And they started from the eldest and walked away. He says to the woman, "I don't condemn you. Finish the sentence. Go and sin no more." Remember what Jesus said to the woman at the well in John chapter 4? She had been married 5 times. And He said to her, "Whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." He says to her, "Woman, you go to this well, and you're going to have to keep on drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking, because any forbidden physical desires, you just have to repeat them." And here's the thing, the need becomes stronger and more addictive. But Jesus said to the woman, "I'll set you free. You come to me, I'll set you free." Was she set free? Yeah, she became an evangelist. She went, she was set free, and she went and told, read John chapter 4, all the men, "Hey, remember me? Yeah, I just met the Messiah. He told me about all of the times that I slept with you." She didn't pass out the 4 spiritual laws. She just says, "He set me free. Hallelujah." And there was a revival. You know, when you and I, and we've talked about it, when you and I unashamedly and by faith declare how God has delivered us, there's a power in that testimony. Because after a while, people look at you and think, "Well, they must have been born saved." I tell my children and grandchildren, "Dad and Grandpa was not born saved. And I have never told them the whole story of what I was like before then." They don't need to hear it. But there is freedom today. You know, the only one I can tell you at this age in my life who is a happily married, blessed man, the only one who can satisfy the deepest longings and desires of your heart is the Lord Jesus Christ. He fills you up in a way that no other human being, even the best of them, can fill you. Bless the Lord, oh my
soul, bless His holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts, and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.